Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. We're here in beautiful Miami, Florida at Sunshine PHP 2016, and my special guest is fellow podcaster Matt Stauffer. Hi, say hi to everybody, Matt.
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing?
Now, Matt, we're going to talk podcasting in a minute, but let's start with what you're talking about here and the talk that you're giving, because you've given it several places. You've given it Nomad. Mm-hmm. So tell us about the talk and what the focus of it is.
Yeah, so this talk is From Idea to Prototype in 50 Minutes with Laravel. And the idea was, I think that for rapid application development, Laravel is a really fantastic tool from going from this idea you had in your mind where you were talking with your friends and you said, there's got to be an app for that, right? Mm-hmm. So you go look, and it turns out sometimes there's not an app for that. And that's an opportunity for you to go try something and mm-hmm. just see if it works out, see if people like it, see if you can do something good with it. So, but you don't want to then throw 10,000 hours of work into it and try and nobody wants it. You want to prototype. You want to spin something up quickly. So I say, using the tools of the Laravel code system, but also Forge and all the other tools in the entire Laravel hosting ecosystem, mm-hmm. you can get something up and running in 50 minutes. Now, theoretically, it'll probably take you a couple hours, but since I already have done this before, I can do it in 50 minutes. So it's not live coding because I'm not that brave, but I took slides, I took screenshots of 50 minutes of code, and I present it from A to Z. Yeah. So we take an idea, and by the end of it, we have a functioning app that people can sign up and put their credit card information into.
That is very cool. Yeah, the Laravel framework has a lot of beautiful built-in tools. Like the I know there is a user module, user management
authentication,
module.
Yeah.
There's the for lack of a better term, the purchasing module or
cashier.
Cashier, yeah. That must make rapid prototyping very good. Now, do most people then rewrite in something else, or do most people stick with the Laravel side of things and finish it out or finish their prototype out?
What I love about Laravel is that unlike some other rapid application development frameworks I've worked with in the past, it can both do the quick spin up, you know, ugly code often using those prototypes, and it also can do large scale, long running applications. You can switch things out from the facades, which are quick and easy to run at the beginning. You can do dependency injection. You can do all the complex application architecture you want, and Laravel will play very nicely with it.
Very cool.
It's the opinionated defaults, but the flexibility to do whatever you want.
Okay.
So often we'll start with the simplest, the most default, and then we'll modify and tweak and rewrite and inject something new later as we find different needs, but it flexes with us as we go. So.
Very cool. Now, you mentioned the tools built around Laravel, hosting and all that.
Mm-hmm.
What are those tools? Assume that, like me,
most
people don't know what these are. Tell us what tools are available to you.
And some of them are packages. So Socialite is a package that makes social login very easily.
Oh, cool.
So
like
that's the thing we do.
Using Facebook to log in?
Exactly.
Okay.
So you don't even have to build your own authentication system. Or Cashier makes it very easy to take Stripe, the whole Stripe payment situation with billing and recurring subscriptions and everything. But then you've also got Laravel Forge and Envoyer, which are server management tools.
I've heard of Forge, but I'm not sure I know what Envoyer is.
Yeah, so Forge is it makes it easy to spin up a consistent VPS on DigitalOcean or Linode or Amazon or something like that
that is in
sync with your local Vagrant machine, which is Laravel Homestead.
So I don't have to purchase hosting from...
Well, we still do, but basically you go get your payment information in DigitalOcean, and then you get an API key from them, you put it into Forge, and then Forge spins up the servers and it gives a really nice admin panel to manage them, but it's still DigitalOcean that's doing it, you're still paying DigitalOcean.
Okay, but I get to choose who my host is.
You can use anybody you want.
Okay.
So that's Forge, and then Envoyer is a zero downtime push to deploy system that you can use on non-Forge things. And so for our bigger sites where we want a zero downtime deploy, it does the whole Capistrano style thing.
Yeah.
So it checks out a version to a release folder on your remote server, runs Composer install, whatever other things you want, and then it just changes a symlink to your current directory to that release. So at any point, if you break something in release, you say rollback and it just changes a symlink to one of the previous releases.
This is hilariously funny to me because the Laravel and Taylor have automated what MWAP, Matthew Weirafini, Supreme Allied Commander of Zend Framework, used to do for me manually. back when the first time I was at Zend, I was in charge of DevZone, but Matthew was the server admin, you know, and so I would go to him and say, okay, I got a new release ready, and he would do all of that.
Right.
He had, you know, 16 steps that he would do. It basically sounds like they,
yeah.
Laravel has automated all that, because that was his last thing was, I put it in the directory, everything works, change the sim link, you know,
yep.
and if necessary, change it back.
Yeah, and one thing I like about it is there's a graphical user interface builder so you can build those steps too. So it's
nice.
Got its basic steps, you know, check it out, composer install, but let's say you need to do some manual sim links or you need to copy an environment file or whatever every time you do it, you just build that in the system and then it's going to run those for you every single time it deploys to any of the
servers. That is impressive. Now, if they could only automate the Matthew, I've made this change in production. Would you backport it down to development for me? I used to drive him up the wall with that one.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no fixing stupid.
Yeah,
know?
Exactly.
Anyhow, I mentioned in your intro, you're a fellow podcaster.
Yes, sir.
You have
Five-Minute Geek Show.
Five-Minute Geek Show, and you also do the Laravel podcast.
Yep.
Let's talk a little podcasting, because I always like talking podcasting with podcasters. What kind of equipment do you use?
So I got a Shure SM7B. It's a beautiful mic. It is silky. It's smooth.
Yeah.
I went through the Blue Yeti, Blue Snowball, Blue Yeti,
yeah.
and then one other one in between. And when I finally made the jump to an XLR, so for those who aren't aware, a lot of the intro-level mics are USB straight in your computer.
Yeah.
But once you want to upgrade a little bit, you probably are going to get a traditional XLR mic, and then you're going to buy a USB, some kind of system that allows you to bring USB into in through an XLR mic. So Shure SM7B is the mic that most NPR stations use. It's very smooth, and it's very good with people with a little bit deeper voice.
Very, very
good
mic, yeah.
So I got that, and I plug it into an Onyx Blackjack, but it could be any USB. I can't remember the word. What's it called? The thing that you plug XLR in, and then USB comes out, whatever that is.
Adapter.
Yeah.
That's always what I've always called them.
Yeah,
so.
It could be any of them. My brother's a sound guy, and he really, really wanted me to do this one, so I got that one. And I had to get a little inline booster, because the Shure SM7B doesn't put out a lot of quite enough signal. Mm-hmm. So I bought this $80 booster, I can't remember the name of it, that goes inline. And then that goes in, and actually I record into GarageBand.
Nice.
I expected to have something fancier, but first of all, it does everything I need. But the one weird thing about the Blackjack is it's meant for being stereo as an option.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of recorders like QuickTime or something like that will put my mic just in the left side of the output audio.
Yeah.
So I need something that's intended for recording, and I can say, no, put that one input into both sides. GarageBand makes it easy for me.
Very cool. I've not tried GarageBand, mainly because in the early days with GarageBand, there was a one-hour limit.
Oh,
and
yeah.
A lot of us were going longer than 1 hour. So we use Audacity for the actual editing. But I don't plug straight into my computer most of the time. I have a Zoom H5, and mm-hmm. we're using SM50H right now. I've plugged this into my computer to record things, or to pipe it on through there for a live recording every now and then.
Right.
But for the most part, I just record straight down there.
Yep.
Now, the fun thing was at PHP World last year, I had we were periscoping.
Oh, cool.
So I had this whole setup. I've got a Zoom 5 with two SM58s. I go, and I have a cable that goes out the line out into my phone.
Yeah,
and so the Periscope could do it. So it gets more complicated. And then here I was experimenting with Periscope and the GoPro. So
mm-hmm. That's really cool.
This stuff grows very quickly.
Yeah.
Now, but you were it can be very complex. It doesn't have to be.
Right.
People that are getting into it, please don't invest a bunch of money in it.
You can absolutely
not. You can do this on the cheap.
Yep.
I've recorded podcasts with my phone, you know,
yep.
and then edited them down. They sound great. But I'm old school. I run WordPress and a couple Blueberry and a couple other custom plugins, and manage my system myself just because that's what I enjoy doing. You have a system you were describing earlier to me before we start recording that sounds just ideal, especially for people that don't want to mess with the server side or anything. They just want a podcast. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so there's a service called Simplecast. So it's simplecast.fm. And for, I think it's $10 a month, you sign up and you tell them, what's the name of my podcast? What's the URL supposed to be?
Mm-hmm.
And then you upload MP3s directly to them, and you type in the title of the podcast episode and the show notes, and you can upload your cover art. And they're going to generate a iTunes-friendly RSS feed. They're going to create a landing page for you that has a listing of all the episodes, inline players in the episodes, individual landing page for each of the episodes with like discuss comments down at the bottom. And they handle everything for you. They're paying A3 or S3 for the storage.
Hmm.
All you gotta do is pay them one bulk fee, and you can set it up and you can manage multiple podcasts there. So the 5 Minute Geek Show is handled there, the Laravel Podcast is handled there, and they just do everything. We pay them and they set up literally everything we need. It's amazing. Super
that
simple.
That is amazing. Had those services have been available when I started, I probably would have done that, because back in the day, the hard part of podcasting was the iTunes-friendly feed, you know? I used to have to wash it through FeedBurner just to get it to work, and these days, Blueberry plugin handles that for me, but... You know, they, like I said, if that stuff was available for $10 a month,
I know, it's amazing.
Yeah, I'm paying three times that now for those just the storage
alone, right?
online. You know.
Yeah, I remember I handcrafted an Expression Engine RSS feed template and then ran it through FeedBurner just to get it good enough for iTunes to be happy with it. And I remember how much work that was then. So
pain in the butt. But hey, you do have two podcasts. Talk to us a little bit about what each one of them is. What do you discuss on each one of them? And we'll throw a link in the show notes so that other people can go out to iTunes and subscribe.
Cool. Well, Laravel Podcast is easier to describe, so I'll start there.
Okay.
I didn't actually start it, but I recently became the host. Well, recently, maybe 6 to 9 months ago, I took over as the host. And it's basically me and Taylor Otwell, the creator, and Jeffrey Way, who runs Laracast.
I know Jeffrey.
One of the best teachers I've ever met.
Oh, yeah.
And so the three of us talk about what's going on in the Laravel ecosystem and what decisions we're making in terms of kind of next steps and what stuff has been released recently. We discuss questions. Sometimes we have interviews on there, but it tends to be primarily the three of us talking about just what are next releases and what are things to watch out for, what are some gotchas, what are some tricks, and that kind of stuff.
Usually
pretty focused on pretty pragmatic relation or aspects of programming in Laravel.
Now that's got to be a very popular podcast.
It's pretty popular. I mean, I don't have too many. I only have one other one to compare it against, so I don't know. But it's doing better than my other one, so I think it goes well, and we get really, really positive feedback. One of the things that we changed when I came on was we keep them a little bit shorter. We try to keep them to 25 minutes. They used to be running a lot longer.
Oh, that's good.
And we focus the topics a little bit more on just Laravel. And if we want to be, you know, dropping long, deep thoughts about some other architectural ideas, we tend to leave them to other podcasts when we either host them or guest on them.
Yeah.
So this is a little more focused, I think, and we try to do it biweekly as well.
That's good. And one of the things, when I started Voices of the Elephant, my goal was 15 minutes for, I wanted this to be consumable on someone's commute to work.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want you to have to invest, because there's some wonderful podcasts in our community that are hour and a half long, but that's a commitment.
Yep.
You know, I didn't want people to have to do that. I wanted to be able, they could just put it on in their car, listen to it.
Exactly.
So, your other one?
Speaking of length, 5 Minute Geek Show. So, the original idea was, I said, there's not enough videocasters around. So, I said, I'm going to make a 5 Minute show, and it's going to be me just talking about whatever I'm doing so I can share it. I love teaching people. I love sharing. So whatever's going on, I'll just share it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it in the YouTube built-in web app recorder.
Oh, cool.
And it turns out it was terrible. It was the worst piece of software I've ever used in my life. I lost dozens of episodes. I gave up. So for a while, I was doing this 2 hours of editing to do this manual process. It was crazy. I eventually turned it into an audio podcast. And so now it's somewhere between 5 and 10 minutes. It's a little bit of a misnomer. And I just talk about whatever I'm learning. It's a combination of like kind of me just sharing what I'm learning at the moment and me teaching. So one of the examples you'll get is me going on a rant about why every business should have a responsive website. And so I start talking about, well, here's the things I've learned, and here's some arguments people give against having a responsive website, and here whatever. So it's not particularly well targeted, because some days it's about coffee. Some days it's about front-end web development. Sometimes Ruby or PHP.
Yeah.
But it's always in kind of the general world of being someone who makes products for the web, probably in a programmery sense. So,
very cool. We'll throw links to both of those in the show notes. One of my early experiments in podcasting, since you're talking about length, I actually started a podcast called The 60 Second Tech.
Nice.
That's where I found out that I can speak 250 words per minute if I'm in a hurry.
Yeah.
Because and the reason I gave up on that one is for a 60-second topic, or to squeeze a topic down to 60 seconds, it took about 3 hours of prep time and at least 10 takes before I finally got it. And I will admit to cheating a couple times. Audacity will let you speed things up without chipmunking.
Uh-huh.
I was so close to, let's just speed this one up.
Yep.
But, hey, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us here on Voices of the Elephant. Before I let you go, same question I ask everybody. What's your local user group? What's the URL?
Well, at the moment of this recording, I don't have one yet. But I've got GainesvillePHP.org.
Oh.
I've got a little sign up there that says, you know, come sign up. And it's very possible that when we release it, it'll actually be out. I'm right on the verge of trying to make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to promise, but I would say if you are anywhere near there, check out GainesvillePHP.org in Gainesville, Florida.
Well, since we're now fellow Floridians as well, I hope to make it up and participate in one of your meetings one day.
I love that.
Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us on Voices of the Elephant. You're speaking here. You create two wonderful podcasts. Thank you for putting yourself out there, sharing what you know, and helping all of the rest of us become better.
Well, thank you, Cal. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled E-L-E-P-H-P-A-N-T.